You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Late last week, federal officials confirmed that at least 530 people in 38 states, including Idaho, have now become sick by a mysterious vaping-related lung illness. And in a sign of the seriousness of the e-cigarette investigation, officials disclosed that the enforcement arm of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has been conducting a probe in parallel with the public health investigation led by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Officials also said last week that they do not know the cause of the lung injuries that are making people sick so far. So at this point, we do know that there have been 8 confirmed deaths. However, all reported cases had a history of e-cigarette or vaping use. So just how serious is vaping, especially among teens and young adults? Joining us live in studio to talk more about this are Dr. Bonnie Halpern-Felsher. She is a professor of pediatrics, adolescent medicine, and also the founder and executive director of the Stanford Tobacco Prevention Toolkit. Also joining us are 2 Idaho teenagers, Joshua Dietrich and Asha Soni. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I want to start with preliminary figures from a national survey show that the prevalence of e-cigarette use among minors has doubled from 2007 to this year. Now, this is in spite of national campaigns warning of the dangers of this. So, Dr. Halpern-Felsher, why?
Well, we see, and in fact, a lot of us would believe that those national numbers are underestimates. When I go talk to youth and parents and school communities across the country, I'm hearing that probably around 50 to 75% of adolescents are at least using some vaping product at some point. Why? Well, we know that it has to do with marketing. It has to do with the flavors. It has to do with the fact that despite the federal level and local levels talking about these problems, we're not necessarily reaching young people. We need to do more prevention and education and really reduce the access and, like I said, the flavors of the marketing of these products.
Talking about those flavors, I've actually learned that while the flavors in my friend group, the flavors have helped. That was a big part of it. Like, as they've started to take those fruity flavors away, it hasn't actually had that many adverse effects. I've been in groups before and people are passing them around, and once someone hits it and goes, ew, what flavor is this? And they're like, oh, it's tobacco. And they're like, that's disgusting. Whatever, and then they just keep doing it.
And they continue to smoke.
Yeah, they continue. It's not about really the taste at this point. It's like they just continue doing it because it's the access to the substance. They don't care what flavor it's masked by. So,
Josh, do you think it is because kids are becoming addicted?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah? Asha, talk about that from your school.
Well, I mean, I think it started as just something to do, just like another pastime, I guess, like what along with drinking and weed and stuff like that. Just another thing to do. And then everyone slowly just got addicted. And now that's just what it is. It's like an addiction.
It was almost like some sort of pyramid scheme. Like you were talking about how it spread. And like Asha said earlier, like 2 people had them, passed them around. And then their 5 friends got addicted, all bought their own, passed it around to 5 more people. They all got addicted. So it just slowly spread as the substance got more prevalent in people's minds.
I'm curious because we've gone around the country and I have certainly advocating for flavor bans. And with the scenario you just described, where somebody say, oh, it's tobacco, but oh well, is it because like we've been saying, they are addicted? Do you think if they had their first hit and it was a gross flavor that they would have continued to use it?
I don't know, actually. I don't think they would have enjoyed it as much if, like, as a first-time thing. But if everyone else continued to do it, then they would probably continue to do it.
But I do think that that would decrease the appeal of it. Because if you're not addicted and you suck on something that tastes like a cigarette, you're not going to want to do it again.
Okay, so here's a question for you then. So when I was in high school, you know, not very long ago, you know, there were kids that smoked. There was that whole smoking campaign. You didn't see it that much. I mean, kids, you know, they kind of went out in the parking lot. You kind of knew the kids who smoked, but it wasn't a cool thing to do, but there were kids that did smoke. Do kids smoke cigarettes or is it vaping?
Oh, kids smoke cigarettes.
Kids smoke cigarettes, but it's actually kind of funny in that it's getting the nicotine the same way, but it's like, by vapors, it's really looked down upon. It's like, ew, this person smokes cigarettes.
Yeah,
like
it's almost definitely a gross thing.
Yeah. Like people do it, but
vapors and not vapors, but it's not considered like a cool thing to do.
It's weird.
So what does this look like at your school? Are as I mentioned, as I noted, these, you know, these numbers and it going up, do you guys think it's more than what we as adults think of kids vaping?
I mean, I feel like adults have this, like, high expectations of it, that there's a lot, you know, and are scared by it. And I feel like it's probably around what adults think.
Yeah, it's...
It's a lot.
It's bad. Lots of people...
It's a lot of people.
...have them, have access to them, or use them. Whether or not they own their own, they... Sometimes it's like, hey, can I borrow yours for lunch, or can I have it? So...
But I wouldn't say that many are addicted.
Yeah.
There's a less number that's addicted, but there's a number of people who will just use it, like, every once in a while at a party or something like that.
So, Dr. Halpern-Fulcher, how have we gotten to this point within the culture of teenagers in particular, where this is a cool thing to do? I mean, you know, kids are doing it. Does a lot of it come back to the marketing of e-cigarettes?
And that is definitely what we believe, is, and the research shows, is it has to do with the marketing, both the marketing of the flavors themselves, and then the marketing of it being cool and bling and be able to hide them and be able to use them in sort of stealth ways. And, you know, as our two wonderful teenagers, Asha and Josh, are saying, you know, our research shows that young people are not really interested in cigarettes and it's not cool anymore. And we've done a really good job in public health to change the perceptions, particularly amongst the newer generations of cigarettes. We have not done a good job doing that with electronic cigarettes. And really, I think a lot of this has to do with the FDA. They had the ability to regulate these products. They have the ability to actually get them off the market. They have the ability to eliminate flavors and marketing, and they haven't done it. And I think we need to be moving faster. We didn't nip this in the bud 3 years ago when this became an issue, and we could have done it then.
Well, when did you guys start to see this becoming more of an issue? I mean, more kids doing it. As Dr. Halpern-Fulcher said, you know, 3 years ago, the FDA should have potentially gotten involved. You're a sophomore, Asha.
Yes.
You're a junior.
Senior.
A senior. Has this been in your high school, your entire high school career?
It started seventh grade for me, I would say, is when it started to take effect, but it was still not big. And then eighth grade, ninth grade year, I think, for me, is when it, like, exploded.
Yeah, I have been pretty sheltered in that I remember kids having them ninth grade year, but I was like, oh, it's just whatever. But it's been kind of junior and senior year, like these past couple years, that they've just been everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do kids understand the detriment to vaping?
I think they do.
I think they do. Like, as we were talking about earlier, I've had several people who, like, you ask around for vapes, they'll come up to me and they'll say, can I borrow your vape? And I'm like, oh, I don't own one. And then they go on to say, I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you're not addicted. You don't own one. Like, good for you. Don't get into it. It's terrible. And then they'll go on to find one because they can't fight that. So it's weird in that, like, they don't want it and they know it's bad for them, but they just keep doing it. I just don't think they know how serious it is, or something like that.
Do you think their parents are aware?
No.
I don't think so at all.
Sometimes parents are, but I don't think for the most part that they are.
Yeah.
And Dr. Halpern-Fulcher, where does that come into play? Because I very vividly remember a couple of years ago being on vacation and walking out of a building and seeing two kids, probably about 17, 18, with their parents, and they were vaping. And not understanding myself that it was, you know, nicotine and all of that, I just thought it was kind of gross. And I was kind of shocked that these two kids were with their parents, and the parents were allowing it. Is that just because we have not been informed up until all of a sudden we have this potential health crisis going on?
No, I think that's a very good point, and you're absolutely right. I think before, we would get calls from the school districts we're working with. We'd give us a call and say, what do? We have parents calling to say, it's Christmas. We want to get this expensive vaping device for our kids as a Christmas present. Is that okay? And we would say, absolutely not. And this was 3-4 years ago, and we're still getting those messages and questions, but certainly not as much as we did a few years ago. So the problem is that we've been getting the message out there, not we public health, but society, that these are healthier alternatives to cigarettes. And what youth translate that as, it's not healthier, but they hear it as healthy, that it must be okay. If mom and dad are using them, then it must be okay. And we have not been very good until more recently about getting the word out to parents. And these products, they look cool, they're tiny, they're easy to hide. And to a parent, they really do think that it was just flavored water, even though we know that it's not. It's harmful aerosol. So it has to do with all the marketing that we've talked about, the lack of messaging. And to be honest, we haven't done it, you know, until we had all these deaths, which may or may not be related to.
Right, because they don't know.
We don't know. But the good thing is it has heightened the awareness, at least to parents. I had a parent call me who has an 18-year-old daughter who's been vaping, and she's terrified now. She was always concerned, but now she's terrified that her daughter's going to die. So she asked me for advice. And so I think, if anything, we've heightened the awareness of it now with this outbreak of deaths, even though we don't know to what extent they're actually connected to the sort of mainstream e-cigarettes.
For the two of you, Josh and Asha, has it changed? Have you seen a change at all with students seeing these illnesses, seeing these deaths?
I would say people are definitely being more aware that it's bad for you, but they're already addicted. And so, like, they're not really, they don't really know how to quit. I feel like most people, like, if they could just stop, they would. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't think it's good for you, but they don't know how to stop. And so they try to just quit. And that doesn't work, because you can't just stop once you're addicted.
Yeah. I actually have seen kind of the other side, in that I'm not to everyone, but I've had a few friends who are like, oh, damn, like, people are dying. This is, like, I need to stop. And then they will go on to stop. But it's just, like Asha said, their method of quitting doesn't work. A lot of them just think, oh, I'll just throw my vape in the river. Like, it'll be over with. It's done. But you can't quit like that. Your body has that addiction. Going cold turkey won't do it, because it's just so easily accessible. The first sign you have an urge, you're going to buy another one. You're going to borrow one from your friend. So it's, I think, more ways of helping people quit need to be spread. Like, possibly they sell the, like, vaping pods in different amounts of nicotine in them, anywhere from 3% to 50%. So just, like, slow it down. Start with your 50, go to 25, go down, 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 until you just don't need it anymore. Or just, like, take breaks, take long breaks, because people just, they are seeing these, the negative effects, they are seeing the deaths, and they want to quit, but they don't really know how. They just think they need to get rid of it, but that doesn't always work.
And what do you want kids to know about this? But also, what should parents be aware of?
I would say, kids, just know it's bad for you. It's not harmless. It doesn't make you cool. And I think a lot of kids do know that. That's the sad part. But just, I think, kind of combining the last part with the parents and kids, I think there needs to be more open communication about it, because parents know how to help. Parents could help. They could just work with different ways to help them, but it's just so taboo that a lot of kids just hide it from their parents. And so then they'll either get in trouble, or they'll keep doing it unregulated. But I think there needs to be more conversation between the parents and the kids if they need help quitting, because parents can be a very, very valuable asset for that. So
yeah, and I think that there needs to be less, like, scolding about doing it. I feel like a lot of parents are just like, if you do it, you're grounded, like that kind of thing. And I think that that doesn't really help kids, because they're like, oh, whatever, like, I get grounded for other stuff. But it needs to be more of an open, like, conversation, like Josh was saying, of that, like, no, this is different. This isn't like anything else, because if you get addicted to this, like, you could die. Like, you know, like, show examples of it. Show, like, grandparents who died from cigarettes and stuff like that. Because right now, I think the conversation is a lot more like, don't do this, you're a stupid teenager that doesn't know what they're doing, instead of like, okay, we get it. But, like,
well, you're addicted to something, and we need to get you help.
Yeah, offer help, not punishment. Because a lot of these kids don't mean to be addicted. They're great kids. They just happen to have this. And it's not like they're a bad kid because they do it. It's that they've been negatively, just like people with drugs and stuff like that, they've been negatively affected. So we need to help them, not just punish them for what they've gotten themselves into.
And I would totally agree. And actually, on our tobacco prevention toolkit, we have a new curriculum we put up there called Healthy Futures, which is an alternative to suspension curriculum. And our feeling is that you shouldn't bust the young people who are using. You should try to help them. And the idea is to really create curriculum and help them be able to stop using, and knowing that they were manipulated by the industry, that they really didn't know. We didn't get the message out. So I wouldn't say that it's so much, quote, their fault that they're using. It certainly isn't also bad parenting. I get a lot of that pushback of, well, if parents monitored their kids, they wouldn't use. No, nobody knew that this was coming on so quickly.
My kids spend less time with me during the week than they do at school.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we really need to help them. And the other problem is, and I love what both Asha and Josh are saying, it's absolutely true, they are addicted. And not everybody. There are certainly young people who are just using them for fun once in a while. But the rate or the spin from just using to addiction is fairly quick. And some of these newer products like Juul, they have a different kind of formula of nicotine. They have a what we call a salt-based nicotine. It's made with benzoic acid. So you are more likely to be able to inhale it, not have it be as painful, and use it faster and more of it. And it gets absorbed more. Plus, they're highly concentrated. So a Juul pod, which is tiny, it's smaller than a paperclip, has as much nicotine as what we would find in 1.5 to 2 packs of cigarettes. Oh. And so you've got, I was talking to a healthcare provider who said, I don't had a dosage nicotine replacement therapy. That's 2 patches. Like, that's a lot of nicotine for a young person. So, and we don't have federally approved, FDA approved nicotine replacement therapies for anybody under 18. So it's a matter of dosing, giving the right amount, and really helping young people realize and go slowly, like Josh was saying, through a step down process and not going cold turkey. Plus, they need some therapy. And they also are using probably because they're stressed. So how are we have to replace it with something. Mm. We're not just going to say be done with it. So it's going to take some time, but we need to do something to help these young people.
I want to thank all three of you for coming in today and talking about this. I think we could have talked about this longer, but we are running out of time. Dr. Halperin-Falscher, you are in town, though, for an event.
I am.
This evening.
Correct. We have a parent event from 7 o'clock at 7 o'clock at Boise State, and then a youth training from 4 to 6, teaching young people how to use our toolkit to become advocates and do prevention in their own communities.
And thank you, both of you, for coming in and talking about this. I know sometimes as a teenager, it's hard to want to come on and talk about something that's controversial, but I really appreciate it and appreciate your perspective and everything. I think we can learn a lot from teenagers in this
situation. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Our guests today, Asha Soni, Josh Dietrich, and Dr. Bonnie Halperin-Falscher, talking about the dangers of vaping. And Dr. Halperin-Falscher will be at Boise State University with her program from 4 to 6 for teens this evening, and then 7 p.m. for parents. Again, thank you so much. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.
Thank you.